For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's going on? It's the Hoop Bowl Clippers podcast. We took a couple weeks off. I know I said I was going to be back the weekend after the Clippers either somehow were able to force a game seven or to do a season recap. And you know what? We decided to take a week or two off. Justin Wilson back on the show, LA Clippers film. We wanted to kind of take some time, soak it all in, you know, and by soak it all in, obviously the misery and losing, and just not go off the emotional roller coaster that we were on. So Justin, first of all, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on. The emotional roller coaster was well put. It certainly was, and I think anybody involved in the in that Clipper playoff run probably needed like a week or two to detox. You know,
because yeah.
I mean, basically since game two or game three against Dallas, they have been playing like single game elimination. So like it's a lot. And I found myself incredibly like exhausted.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't play once the season was over, I was like, man, I need to like step away for a bit. But it's good to be back on.
Yeah, man, a lot of basketball. I can honestly say that I've probably watched a grand total of about 20 minutes of the NBA finals. It's just one of those things where I was taking up the TV every single night, every other night. So getting some time back with the wife and watching shows and all that kind of stuff and spending time with the little one. It was a grind. It was a big time grind. And we'll talk about the season that was, and we'll go into some off season stuff. I think we'll do more of an off season pod in a couple of weeks, go more in details on contracts and stuff, but we'll touch it. But I do want to start with the more recent stuff before we get into the actual season that was where the Clippers ended up losing before getting to the NBA Finals. Three assistant coaches for the Los Angeles Clippers as of now are rumored to be gone or already gone. Chauncey Billups, the head coach in Portland. Roy Rogers, going to be an assistant coach under Chauncey Billups. And Kenny Atkinson, I believe, is supposed to leave for a Golden State, if memory serves me correctly. So that's three assistant coaches under Ty Lue that are gone. Billups, of course, credited for the development of Paul George as a point guard. Roy Rogers, credited for the work that he's done with Zoo. And Kenny Atkinson in player development. And of course, we know what Terrence Mann meant to the Clippers this season. So three very important pieces to the Clippers coaching staff that are gone. Normally, Justin, you're able to just go and find someone that's been sitting on the sidelines. I mean, I know Steve Nash went and found Mike D'Antoni, for example. There are head coaches, Mike Woodson, lots of head coaches that are not getting jobs that used to be in the NBA, whether they are now going to be lead assistants or something like that. So normally you're able to find someone to fill the void when you lose assistant coaches. Before we get into the actual assistants themselves, what's the level of concern for you here? Because I've seen some stuff on Twitter where you see three coaches leaving. That is a lot. I know it. There are times when you poach the winning team, quote unquote, but the Clippers didn't even make the finals. And in this case, there is the Kawhi question, which we don't think is much of a question, but it is a little concerning. So where are you in level of concern with three assistant coaches leaving in one off season?
I'd say I'm not too concerned, but, a talent drain on your coaching staff is never good, but it's also a signifier that your program has something good there. And so it'll be interesting to see who Ty Lue chooses to fill those voids. But make no mistake about it, guys like Chauncey and Roy and Kenny Atkinson, their fingerprints were all over this team as far as like Paul George's development, Zoo's development, obviously Terrence Mann's development. The players themselves credit the coaching staff for their development. So, you know, and they've been instrumental in creating this Clipper culture. And anytime you start to pick away at a culture and try and replace guys with other coaches and things like that, it can be pretty dicey. So chemistry is an incredibly delicate thing, and the Clippers created something good with their coaching staff, and they're going to have to be careful with who they choose to replace these coaches with. But I have faith in Ty. I have faith in the front office that they're very good at identifying talent on and off the floor. And I don't think that'll stop. I think there are some pretty viable candidates out there. I haven't gotten a chance to dig really deeply into that, but I'm sure Lawrence Frank will come up with a great list. And Ty has great relationships all throughout the league, so I'm not too concerned. But it's unfortunate because the Clippers did create something really, really special.
It's funny you bring up a certain name right there. His name is Lawrence Frank. Have you gotten a chance to text your buddy? Because I saw that tweet you posted on Twitter where you and Lawrence Frank apparently are texting buddies. So have you gotten a chance to text him and find out what's going on?
Not exactly. I got kind of in trouble for that. So, but Mr. Frank is great people, and I'm confident that he'll lead us in the right direction this offseason.
Oh, look at you, man. Talk about a power move there, pup. Seriously, I didn't realize that I was co-host on this Hoopball Clippers podcast with a guy that's an absolute legend here with the connections he's got. So, all right. I do want to talk about the assistants, though, man. I mean, it's one of those things where why would you want to leave the Clippers if you are someone like Roy Rogers, for example, to go to Portland when you have a really good foundation in place? Let's not kid ourselves. The Clippers are better than Portland. Why would you leave unless it's going to be for more money? I mean, if you're Kenny Atkinson, why would you leave to go to Golden State when the Clippers were a couple of wins away from the NBA Finals? That's the part that scares me a little bit, Justin.
That doesn't scare me. A lot of times it comes down to opportunity and advancement within your career. And with not just opportunity, but opportunity and relationships. And Chauncey has a great relationship with Roy Rogers. And there could be a greater role with more responsibility if he goes to Portland than staying with the Clippers. And the same thing for someone like Kenny Atkinson, who is going to be the lead assistant for Golden State. And he was not the lead assistant for us here, you know. So when you are a coach in the NBA, we often talk about how scarce NBA players are, like there's only like 470 of them or whatever, but there's even less as far as like head coaches, right? And so if your goal is to become a head coach, then you need to pounce on every single opportunity there is to advance your career. And so I think oftentimes when you see coaches move in that direction, it's more so because they are looking out for their best interest for their career. It kind of doesn't have much to do with the Clippers as much as it's, well, this is a better opportunity here. I think I can have a stronger hold within the organization if I'm like in Golden State like Kenny, or if I'm in Portland like Roy. So I think it's more of a reflection of their opportunities being greater elsewhere than they are here. But that's also a credit to the Clippers, because they had so much talent on the sidelines last year that guys who could have been like lead assistants were delegated to like player development and third and fourth assistants. So that's how strong the Clippers coaching staff was last year. If anything, this talent drain of coaches is a reflection of that, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It really makes sense. It's just, one of those things where when you have that many assistants leave, clearly there's going to be a bigger role for you if you stay. And you do make sense there with the Chauncey Roy Rogers connection. I don't know. The Kenny Atkinson thing feels a little weird. But I mean, he's going to be, I believe, the lead assistant under Steve Kerr. So he obviously will get a large role. It's just a little frustrating when you have a team that's so close to the title and it's their coaches feel like, yeah, now would be a good time to leave when they're so close to winning it. Who do you think is going to have the biggest impact on for the Clippers with these three guys leaving, with Billups, Atkinson, and Rogers? I mentioned the three guys in PG, Zoo, and T-Man that were obviously probably the main dudes that were impacted by those three. Who do you think will have the biggest impact on them with one of those coaches leaving?
I'm going to say probably Kenny.
Yeah. That's what that was my thought too, with his impact and like, player development.
It's not just the young guys, although he did a great job with like Amir Coffee. He did a great job with Terrence Mann. The entire player development staff did a great job with the young guys, but they that doesn't stop there, right? Like I'm sure he had his hands on Paul George. I'm sure he had his hands on like Kawhi, and I'm sure he had his hands on virtually every player on the team. And so if you look at how great the Clippers performed, anytime you start to mess with the player development stuff, that definitely is something that you want to keep an eye on. So if I had to pick, it definitely would be Kenny.
Yeah, I think so too. So now the question is, who fills those spots? I'm sure you're looking on Twitter just like I am, and you've watched a ton of basketball over the years. You know who's available, who's not available. Any guys that pique your interest? I know before the Clippers filled their staff under Ty Lue, I know a guy like Dan Craig was someone that the Clippers had their eye on. He ended up getting hired by the Clippers. Anyone that really piques your interest?
Off the top of my head, like, that's a tough one.
If you got nothing, that's okay.
I got nothing.
Yeah,
I got nothing. And part of that is not with NBA coaches, a lot of stuff isn't publicized until deals are done. So it's hard to know who exactly is available.
Yeah.
There's one name that I do love, and that's Teresa Weatherspoon in New Orleans. That's someone who I think has built great relationships with all of the players with the Pelicans in terms of player development. And I think she'd be great as a player in our player development department with the Clippers. If there is one person, she's the first person that came to mind.
Yeah, that's a good shout. That's a really good shout. She was being named alongside Becky Hammond for a possible NBA job. And doesn't look like, by the way, that either one of those are going to get an NBA head coaching job. I know people thought for sure with, I think, seven different vacancies that there would be one of those two that would get a head coaching job. But so far, it doesn't seem that way, although I believe the Pelicans are the lone team that have not filled their spot yet, with the Magic filling their spot this morning. So I could be wrong, but I think it's only one team left. Okay, let's talk about this team that nearly got to the NBA Finals. When you look at this roster for next year, you see that PG is under contract. Obviously, Kawhi has his player option. Marcus Morris is under contract. Pat Bev has one more year on his contract. Ibaka's a player option. Rondo's under contract. Zoo is under contract. Kennard, T-Man, Oturu, and Yogi Ferrell. And so that means guys like Batum, Reggie Jackson are both free agents. And of course, you have the Kawhi thing. When you look at this roster, it really feels like there's not a lot of moves that you can make. It feels like this is one of those things where you bring everyone back and run it back and hope it works out. I mean, if you are the Clippers, you re-sign Kawhi, you hope he's healthy, you hopefully get Ibaka back, and hopefully he's healthy. It feels like if this team was healthy, they could have had a shot to get to the NBA Finals and win it all. What are your thoughts on the way the team is constructed and where we look at this team next year?
I think whenever you have a ceiling as high as the Clippers, and they almost reached it this year, you'd be wise to do what you can to bring guys back. I'm sure there'll be moves along the margins as far as like shoring up the back end of the roster, but like the top eight or nine of the rotation, you definitely want to bring those guys back as at least as much as you can. For me, I would be totally fine with that. I came away this season incredibly impressed. Coming into this year, there was a question, at least for me, as far as like, what do we have here? Is this a team that's capable of winning the NBA title? Is this a team worth investing in, or are we doomed to hell because this team just doesn't have it? And I thought the run that they went on in the playoffs unequivocally answered that question, and it makes you feel good about who's on the roster as we move forward and who can be on the roster as we move forward. So, like, if you bring Nicholas Batum back, hopefully, if you bring Reggie Jackson back, hopefully, and obviously if you bring Kawhi back, you have the skeleton in place to make another run towards the title next year. And I think that's the most important place to be in the NBA, right? Because so much of what an NBA title is, it comes down to luck, right? As far as like injuries and matchups, like a lot of it is luck. So you want to be able to build your team to have a chance to take advantage of that luck. And the Clippers have those things in place should they return everybody. And I think I'm optimistic that we will. And for the most part, I'd be happy with that. I would like them to get a little bit younger on the margins towards the back end of the roster and start playing those guys a little bit more, like seeing a little elevating Amir Coffey's role a little bit. No more like Patrick Patterson and DeMarcus Cousins. Let's get some young blood in to help us get through the season. But other than that, I do like our top eight and top nine, and we should do everything possible to bring those guys back. And if we do, I think we're in great position to make another deep run.
The one thing about this Clippers team is it feels like the window is very, very small. When you look at the ages of the guys on this roster.
Yeah, they're very old.
Yeah, I mean, you got, obviously, T-Man and Zoo are both 24. Luke Kennard is 25. And then you look at the guys that we normally talk about. PG's 31, Kawhi is 30, Marcus Morris is 31, Pat Bev is 32, Ibaka is 31. Rondo doesn't matter, but he's 35. Batum is 32, Reggie Jackson is 31. I mean, this is a really old team. So that according to Basketball Reference, by the way. So if someone's birthday happened, my apologies. So when you look at guys like Reggie Jackson and Nico Batum, those are probably the two biggest guys the Clippers, I'm assuming, want to bring back. Batum had a really big role in what the Clippers did, especially in the postseason. And you and I have talked about the numbers on the floor with Batum and T-Man. Those guys had a great plus-minus, and Batum clearly was injured in that last series because he didn't get a chance to play many minutes for most of the games. Reggie Jackson was honestly their best player at times and has developed into a premium scorer that you can't find very often. A guy that can get his buck in. It seemed like anytime the shot clock was expiring, Reggie Jackson was able to create a shot for himself and make it. So how much money do you think we're looking? First, let's start at Reggie Jackson, because I think the Clippers can only give him $9 million per year. If my math is correct, or if my memory is correct, rather, because I believe Lucas Hahn, by the way, who's a good follow on Twitter, I think he's pretty good with this stuff and the numbers. And I think that's what he said was $9 million per year. So what do you think they're looking at with Reggie Jackson, the likelihood that they actually can keep him?
I think it's a little more than that. Like, I was looking, if my memory serves me correctly, I think it's like in the 4-year, $45 million range.
Okay, so about $11 million or so.
Yeah, something like that. And the last, if you can get that down to like 3 instead of 4, it'd be great.
Yeah.
But you know, given his age, it probably is a bad contract if because like nobody else is on the open market is going to be paying him that much. But, you know, you do what you can to keep your guys. And, you know, you that's it's when you're trying to compete for a title, quote unquote, bad contracts are par for the course. So I think the Clippers, if they can come to an agreement on the number of years, we'll be able to retain Reggie, because I just think that, you know, you saw his post game presser. Yeah. We're all human.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, oddly enough, I ran into Reggie like maybe like a week or two ago. And I was
Look at this guy. He's got Lawrence Frank on speed dial and he's running into Reggie Jackson.
True story. And I tried to do my part to persuade him to return.
Oh, my guy. Look at you.
But, yeah, it's definitely something that I think we'll we can – if it's the number of years, and I do think they'll find a place that both sides are comfortable on, and I think it'll be a pretty smooth negotiation, because it seems like Reggie has found a home here. He's found a place here, and the Clippers need him. It's not like they'll be able to replace what he's able to bring. I do wonder about some regression, because the month of June is not who Reggie Jackson is, as much as I love him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's
for sure.
Not this good. And so he ended up being the third best player for the Clippers in their playoff run, which is kind of mildly concerning. And he is someone that shouldn't be relied upon as heavily as he was for the Clippers this year. And that's something that they're going to have to figure out. Perhaps there is a big time trade that we don't see on the horizon from maybe like a Kyle Lowry or something like that, that can help in that regard. And we can kind of demote Reggie to like the sixth man role or something like that. So we'll see what happens. And I do think it's a mild concern how heavily we relied on Reggie Jackson in deep playoff games. That's a mild concern, but nevertheless, he is someone that has proven his worth to the organization. He's proven his worth on the floor, and he is someone that the Clippers would be wise to bring back. He's also obviously Paul George's friend.
Yep.
And you know, he had his best playoff run, arguably of his career, with Reggie Jackson beside him. And so if Paul George is better with Reggie Jackson, that's another reason why you bring Reggie back.
That's a great point. And Kyle Lowry, by the way, 35 years old. So that would add to the the team in wheelchairs over here. So before we go further, Justin Wojnarowski, can you name the place that you saw Reggie Jackson and how that conversation went?
Yeah, I mean, it was Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles on Pico. Nice. I was waiting to get inside, and here comes Reggie Jackson walking past him. And so obviously I just went up to him, had a short conversation, told him I appreciated what he did for the team this postseason run. He told me it was really fun and really exhausting. And, you know, I said that we'd love to have you back, bro. And he said, yeah, that's the plan. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Did I tell you, by the way, that I ran into Ty Lue? I don't know if I've ever said this, on the podcast. I think I have. So I was in Vegas, many years ago when, Ty Lue was with the Clippers on Doc Rivers' staff. And I said to him, hey, man, you coming back next year? And he said, no. I said, what? Well, I said, where are you going? He said, Cleveland. And this was a day before he announced that he was going to Cleveland to be under David Blatt's staff. Because I told him, like, dude, you're my favorite Laker when you were on the Lakers. And so I was talking to him very briefly. He was in Vegas at the craps table. And I was like, oh, okay, look at that. I got this random news. And so I posted on Twitter thinking that was cool. And then the next day he ended up going to Cleveland. So that's my big Clipper encounter, was that I got the news a day before it actually leaked. So good times there. Reggie Jackson, I have said time and time again on this pod and on Twitter, pay the man whatever he wants, bring him back. And that could be foolish as hell, like you said, because he clearly was not the guy that he was during June. But that being said, he was damn good during the regular season.
Oh, absolutely. The shooting is very real.
Yeah, and he was really important to what the Clippers did with the, hey, these guys are going to sit for this game. These guys will sit and then they'll be available and they know their role and they're okay sitting, but they're also okay playing 35 minutes a night. And I think that's important on a roster like this. So I think that you bring Reggie Jackson back at whatever it takes. I understand the contract will be criticized just like Luke Kennard's was. And by the way, if Luke Kennard can play like he did during the playoff run towards the end of it, Luke Kennard's going to be worth his contract. He very much will be worth it. He's making 12.7 next year. If he can become a rotation player and have that confidence that he showed towards the end of that postseason run, then the Clippers should be okay. So I understand you're going to pay him a couple extra million than other people would. But listen, there are teams out there that probably would pay Reggie Jackson $15 million a year. I mean, if the Clippers would pay Luke Kennard what they did, I could very well see Reggie Jackson getting $16 million a year, but it just feels like towards the end of his end of his career, I don't think he goes for the extra $4 million or so. Do you think that he would, or do you think that he would take the hometown discount?
I don't think any player. I mean, I don't think any. If the difference is like millions upon millions of dollars,
yeah,
I don't think there is a hometown discount in play, and a player would and probably should go where the money goes. You know, you only have a finite amount of time to make like this much obscene amount of money. So, the thing with me when it comes to Reggie is that like his age kind of limit who his potential suitors would be, and I'm having a hard time finding the team that's going to pay him more than what the Clippers are going to. It's more so about the years, and so if the Clippers give him that like 4 years of security, I think that'll be enough. It's the years, not necessarily the money, because I think you can find a team or two that is willing to pay like Reggie like $14-15 a year,
yeah,
but for 1 year. You know what I mean? Like for that 1 year. But like 4 years, I don't see that. And if the Clippers come correct in that regard, then I think we'll be safe.
Let's take a quick break to talk about our friends over at MyBookie. You've heard me talk about them before. They are truly the best spot for your gambling needs. Ever since I started this podcast, people always ask me where I'm gambling, who I'm betting on, and I always tell them I am with MyBookie. They've got the best odds, contests, promotions in the business, whether you want to do live in-game betting, you want to do money line parlays, you want to do some blackjack. Yes, you heard me correctly. Blackjack tournaments, they've truly got it all. The only place that I trust to handle my NBA-related bets, my Premier League-related bets, my NHL-related bets, college basketball, college football, tennis, UFC, it's all there at MyBookie. It's simple. Sign up, enter the promo code HOOPBALL. Get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's the promo code HOOPBALL. Get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Head over to MyBookie if you want a little excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. You need a little bit of help? Hit up the guys in the HoopBall Gaming Department and the Wager Pass. Those guys do a great job telling you who they're going to bet on, what they're betting on, and they truly are some pretty smart individuals. Devin heads up that department. So go ahead, hit up the HoopBall Gaming account if you need some help on who you're going to bet on at MyBookie. Bet with the best, bet with MyBookie. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, Nico, how much do you pay him? Because he was pretty important to what the Clippers did, and it seemed like he was cooked going into this season, and he became a really valuable 3-and-D guy, which is what he was during his peak in Charlotte, and a good passer as well, and he's a tremendous cutter to the hoop. What do you think about bringing Nico Batum back, and how much would you give him?
The Clippers are in a different spot with Nicholas Batum than they are with Reggie Jackson. Because the Clippers have had Reggie for two seasons now, they have a little bit more wiggle room and a little bit more money to pay Reggie Jackson as far as like having some of his like early bird rights and stuff like that. They don't have that with Nicholas Batum. And if Nicholas Batum gets a big deal out in free agency and a big deal for him is like what I a little above the mid-level or whatever.
Yeah.
It'll be very hard to keep him, in my opinion, because I think any team that's trying to do anything positive in the NBA would benefit from having someone with his skill set on the team. He was so important to the Clippers. And I think him more than Reggie is gonna hurt if we lose him. Like, I think we can patchwork. We can do some stuff along the roster to make up for Reggie Jackson, but there's no making up for what Nicholas Batum brought to the team this year. And I'd be really sad to see him go. And there's just only so much money we can pay Nico Batum. So I'm really curious to see what ends up happening there. I'm hopeful that he's back with the team. Given the fact that, you know, he looked like he had a great year here. He talked about how the Clippers kind of revitalized his faith in his own self as far as like being a basketball player. His wife looked like she enjoyed being in LA. Yeah. And I'm hopeful he'll return, but he'll have no shortage of title contenders and fringe title contenders looking for his service. And quite a few can offer more than what the Clippers can offer. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's funny, you look at the team and Terrence Mann, $1.5 million guaranteed. Reggie Jackson, $2.3 million. Nick Batum, $2.5 million. I mean, it's wild what the Clippers did with their roster this season, and all credit to Lawrence Frank in that front office. It feels like they're going to have to do it again. They're going to have to find the diamond in the rough, the guys that aren't getting the attention that they should be. Get the guys like Nico Batum. Yep. And they're hard to find. They're really hard to find, but guys that are a little bit older that just aren't getting the look because either they're underutilized or they underperformed last year. So it's going to be a really tough ask for the front office, and we'll go more in depth on the roster and obviously the draft coming up, I believe in around 20 days or so, and free agency right behind in a couple days after that. So don't want to go too much more into the roster. We only have a couple more minutes, actually, because unfortunately we got a balance here, the wife and I, and trying to get our workouts in and take care of the kids. So got about 5 to 10 more minutes here. I want to talk about just the season in general, Justin. When you look back at this season, how are you going to remember it? Are you going to remember it as a success? Are you going to remember it as a disappointment or a what could have been? Which of those three?
I definitely look at this season as a success, and I look at it as something that, although we lost, I look at it as a healthy building block moving forward. You and I can just remember countless seasons ending in such catastrophic ways. And while it hurt emotionally, more than anything, it's kind of screwed the team up as far as like evaluating how to move forward. Like, take, for instance, the way we lost to Denver, right? I think I speak for a ton of people when I say the Clippers were the better team in that series, but they lost. And that forced mass upheaval as far as like a turnover in coaching staff, a turnover in players. And like, you know, that's not healthy for any organization who's trying to compete, right? Continuity is what matters. And so I think with the way that we lost this year, while not optimal, it was healthy. It was a healthy, natural way to lose. Yeah. We didn't blow a 3-1 lead. We didn't have a massive collapse in the game. We kind of got tired and got fatigued and phased out, and we were too injured, which happens to a lot of good teams. And that's something that you can build on, right? You can go into your offseason and say with good faith that if we bring back a healthy roster, we improve along the margins, we are in great position to win a title, and we have a team that we can tangibly believe in. And that is honestly the biggest and most important takeaway that you could have. And from that standpoint, it's been a massive success, I'd say, right? Like, Tim Duncan won 5 rings in like 21 years, right? Winning in the NBA is hard and it does not happen often. So it's more important, in my opinion, that you are constantly and consistently building a team that has a chance to win. And I think after the on the heels of this playoff run, you see that the Clippers have done that. So massive success, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I think it I would have said what could have been if I were to have answered that question right when the season ended. But you look at how hard it is to win, like you said, and what the Clippers had to deal with, man. I mean, it just out of the blue, all of a sudden, the NBA has found dates where there can be a couple of days off in the NBA Finals. I mean, it's one of the more ridiculous things I've seen, where this team was playing legitimately every single day, or every other day, pardon me, for a month. I mean, you're playing NBA basketball in the playoffs. That is way different on your legs than a regular season game. You're not playing as tough of defense in the regular season. You're not playing as hard on the offensive end during the regular season. Playoff basketball is a different beast, and that's what's crazy about LeBron James and how he's been able to stay healthy for the most part until the most last couple seasons or so, because of the amount of minutes that he's had and the wear and tear on his body during the postseason. And for the Clippers to lose Kawhi Leonard and to lose Serge Ibaka, and then to lose Zoo, I mean, the Clippers lost three starters, basically. It's obviously two of them don't start at the same time, in Ibaka and Zoo. But you lost legitimately two of your top five during the regular season, and you still were able to compete and nearly get to the NBA Finals against a team in Phoenix that, by the way, is pretty good. I mean, they won the second most amount of games in the Eastern, or rather in the Western Conference, and they're up 2-0 against Milwaukee, and Giannis has been a positive in the plus-minus in both games. So this is a good Phoenix team. The Clippers just weren't healthy when it mattered. They played too many games, and there's only so much you can ask of the human body to play that many minutes. And for Paul George, he just got exhausted. Reggie Jackson had two of his worst three shooting performances in the two of the final three games of the playoffs. So these guys just got tired. So I think all things considered, like you said, with the process, and it's not a thing with last year where you look at Doc Rivers and said, damn, man, you play Zoo over Montrezl Harrell and we're in the next round. There's none of those if you play X over Y, we're in the next round with this team, because clearly guys like Batum, who we would have played more, who we would have wanted to play more, were hurt. And Marcus Morris was playing hurt. I mean, I just named five different guys that were hurt on this team that were either out or playing through injuries. And for them to get as close as they did to the NBA Finals, it's a success in my opinion.
No, I 100% agree with you. And especially the part about the Phoenix Suns, right? Like, they're up 2-0 at the time of this recording. It looks like they'll probably win the title. And the Clippers pushed them to six, even without Kawhi Leonard and without Zoo for the latter part of that series. And if game two goes a different way, if game four goes a different way, they may be in the finals even without Kawhi.
Yeah.
And that just goes a long way to show you just how good this team was this year and how much of a success this season was. So Phoenix is a really good team, but I think the Clippers will come into next season probably better than the NBA champions. And that's a good place to start if you're trying to win a title for next season. So a lot to be optimistic about. It doesn't mean that the Clippers front office won't get to work. And this team will definitely look different, because that's the nature of the NBA. Roster turnover is even if it's minor, it's a constant. But I think they have the DNA in place, and I'm optimistic about what's to come.
Yeah, and it's hard to actually go and prognosticate what the roster is going to look like. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try and pretend what the Clippers team will look like if Kawhi Leonard decides to leave, which we both don't think is going to happen. And if the Clippers decide to somehow trade Patrick Beverley, for example, I mean, it's really hard to figure out what this team will look like. So I'm not even going to waste time trying to figure out what could and couldn't happen, because frankly, we have no idea. And we just don't know who's healthy, who's going to be a free agent, who's going to be restricted for it. I mean, who's going to actually sign. So it's not worth it, in my opinion. But with this team, what's interesting is that it was hard to kind of enjoy in the moment at times because they were playing so often, Justin. It's felt very hard to actually sit back and enjoy what this season was when you're playing every other day. Did you get that feeling at all? Because it really felt like a whirlwind, and that you can't sit back and say, damn, man, that was one of my favorite teams to watch, because it was so stressful and it was coming at you so quickly. Did you get that feeling at all?
Yeah, I did. I did. You know, it's, I think it felt like we were playing every other day for like three consecutive series. It felt like,
yeah.
And it's very hard in the moment to kind of appreciate and digest just what's going on. And I'm sure it felt that way for the players too. The schedule didn't do us any favors, but I think now that the season is over, you can kind of like relax and kind of digest just exactly what the team was able to accomplish. And it was historic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it really was. And it's funny because I saw Brian from the Clipset Pod posted a tweet and said that this is, I believe, his favorite team ever. And when he posted that, I was trying to think back to old Clippers teams. And I still think that one of my favorite teams, and I don't think it was as, obviously it wasn't as good as this team, but I'm not sure where it ranks, is the team with Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson and just the amount of fun that those guys had, Elton Brand. It's hard to kind of figure out what qualifies as your favorite team. Is it the success? Is it the fun watching them? I think there are different levels of fun with this team, because there's the fun of winning and there's the fun of the never give up attitude with this Clippers team. And I saw, I believe it was your brother that posted about the game that really showed about the Clippers was their win over the Hawks when they came back from up down 20 or so. And it's one of those things where you have a team that's easy to root for when they don't give up and they fight. And that's what this Clippers team was. I mean, you're down Kawhi Leonard. PG says, whatever, man, we're going to come back. And you're down 19, I believe it was, against Dallas. And the Clippers said, you know what, screw it. We're going to come back. We're going to win. So in terms of the having fun on the court, I think it was closer to that Corey Maggette, Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson team. But having fun and winning and never giving up, I think it was this team. What are your thoughts on that?
I would say that like this is definitely my favorite team of all time, just because of the things that like you mentioned. This team showed incredible character that I don't think was apparent in any other iteration of the Clippers. They basically went from a team and an organization that's known for choking to a team that's been one of the more resilient teams of all time, right? Like they literally were the first team ever to come back from multiple 0-2 deficits in a postseason run and almost did it like three consecutive times. And they were doing that, and they were showing that DNA all year. And for me, that's why they're my favorite team as far as like Clippers are concerned. And obviously the success plays a part, but like, you know, I've never seen Staples Center the way it was game six against Utah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never seen a team like, whether it was against Atlanta or whether it was in Detroit without Kawhi and without Paul George, or whether it was against the Miami Heat without Kawhi and without Paul George, show the amount of fight that they were able to display all year. And so for me, that's why this team is my favorite, because they really showed a level of mettle and a level of mental fortitude that I just was accustomed to not seeing when it came to a Clipper team. So that's something that I particularly enjoyed. They never let go of the rope.
Yeah, it was a fun season, man, and I'm very grateful to having the Clippers in my life and how well they performed, and just a team that succeeds, and what Ballmer has done with this team is truly incredible, and really thankful for having you on this podcast, man. It really has been a pleasure to have you on as often as I have. You are one of the best minds when it comes to hoops, in my opinion. A great follow, a great person as well. So a big thank you. Obviously, we'll be having you on throughout the off season, but just wanted to thank you for coming on this show as often as you did and lending your knowledge on this podcast.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was a fun season to cover the Clippers with you. And I look forward to developments that happen in the off season. You know, we've got coaching staff turnover, which means that somebody's got to take their places. We got the draft, and the Clippers front office is aggressive. So you never know, and we'll see what happens. But you know, it's going to be a ride this off season, regardless.
Cool. Well, we'll obviously be following your stuff at LA Clippers Film on Twitter. Justin Wilson, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, a big thank you once again to Justin Wilson for hopping on. Before we say goodbye, folks, got to tell you about our friends over at Manscaped. If you have not gotten the new Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0, what are you waiting for? Their Lawnmower 4.0 and the Ultra Smooth Package, perfect gifts no matter what. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. You trying to improve your grooming game below the belt? Manscaped is the place to go. Their 7,000 RPM trimmer features skin-safe technology to keep your balls in check. Help reduce manscaping accidents around the world, those nicks and cuts that you always get whether you're trying to use scissors or something else. I know you're scared to use something down there. Do not be scared to use the Lawnmower 4.0. Gives you the ability to turn on that LED spotlight on and off whenever you need a more precise shave. And of course, additional guard lengths with sizes 1 to 4 to let you trim to your liking. Blown away by their performance? Go ahead, join the crew. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. All right, so coming up, of course, we've got the NBA Finals still going on. After that, we will see the NBA draft. So the Clippers, by the way, will have a pick in the 2021 NBA draft. And so for the Clippers, it's important to realize that when everyone says they don't have picks the next 7 or 8 years, that's not true at all, by the way. The Clippers have a pick swap with several different teams. Oklahoma City, actually, is the team that they have a pick swap with every other year. And so they still have their pick, though. They just can't trade that pick. They'll have the number 25 pick in this year's draft. And so we will obviously break down that pick after it occurs, as the 2021 NBA draft is in just over 2.5 weeks. July 29th is when the draft is, and then a couple of days after that is when free agency begins. So we'll have a podcast. We're going to aim to try and get you a podcast once per week to break down what's going on in Clipper Nation. Of course, you've got the assistant coaches leaving, so new coaches are going to have to come in. We'll talk about the draft. We'll talk about free agency. So there still is a lot of the NBA to get through, of course, throughout the offseason. And we really do appreciate you sticking with this podcast. I know it's been a crazy year, of course, with COVID. And then, of course, with me having a baby. So things have been obviously crazy in terms of taping. But a big thank you to everyone that has stuck with us through this entire season and what was really a nice season. And for the Clippers to reach their first ever Western Conference Finals was quite the accomplishment. And I'm thankful to have everybody along for the ride. You can always follow me on Twitter at BDMarcus. The Twitter account for the Hoopball Clippers podcast is at Hoopball Clips. Go ahead, hit me up, BDMarcus. Say hello. Say what guests you want to have on. Of course, we'll bring back our old friends throughout the offseason as we'll have more time to try and schedule stuff. While beat writers, of course, are not on the road all the time, where they've got crazy schedules, so it should be easier to get people like our friends Andrew Greif, our friend Law Murray. Should be able to get more friends on the podcast. Sabrina, Miriam, lots of people that we'll have on throughout the offseason. So until next time, I'm Brandon Marcus. Enjoy your offseason. Of course, as always, go Clips.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.